up, everybody? Welcome back to the Nerdament Podcast. I know it's been a couple weeks, but we're back. My name is Hayden. I'm here, as per usual, with
Victoria
and
Aaron.
And we're here to talk about something that Aaron will tell you in a second when he's done messing with his mic. Aaron.
For those of y'all that have not listened to this podcast before or watched our YouTube, me and Hayden created a 128-seed tournament using Star Wars characters.
Those were correct.
Adjectives. No, it feels wrong.
Or not adjectives.
What are they?
Action words.
Action words.
Yes, those are called the verbs.
Yes, there you go.
As we've established on this podcast, I'm really good at English. So, just strikes again.
We used Jedi, Sith, and Good With Gun. And I think we're getting to the last Good With Gun character today.
No,
there's another one.
Django.
Oh,
next week.
Next week, okay. So we have two more Good With Gun characters left.
Three
more Good With Gun characters left.
Who's the other one? He's off his game. Bo Katan.
She's today.
Yes, Bo Katan and Bossk are today, and Jango Fett is next week.
So me and Hayden represent characters.
What's going on with him?
Argue for a bit.
He's all over the place.
And then Victoria renders a final judgment.
Yeah. You guys should be pretty familiar. This is the second to last episode of round two, so we're almost done with round two, and then it'll quicken up a little bit. So,
yay.
A lot to look forward to. If you hear, that rumbling noise going on behind us, just ignore it. It is road construction, and there's nothing we can do about it, so I apologize. Hopefully, you'll be able to hear over us. So, yeah. Aaron, what do you want to do first?
I think we should do Mace versus Wreath first.
Mace? All right. Let me pull out my other notebook here.
No, I need to find where I put Wreath.
All right. I have Mace. This is the problem with having, two different notebooks that you started one of them halfway through the first round, so some of my characters are in the other notebook and some of them are in my second notebook. It's a little bit
he's in the other much. Notebook.
See, that's what I'm talking about. But yeah, Victoria, are you ready?
Yes.
Did you miss being behind the mic?
I mean, yeah, I guess I did.
Yeah,
we can say that.
By the way, how are y'all liking Obi-Wan?
I enjoy it. What do you think?
I think that it's building up to something.
Spoilers for episode 3. If you haven't seen episode 3 yet, how the hell is Darth Vader that fucking fast?
Dude, he's
how?
Force powers, man.
He just moves around,
yeah.
And he's always right where he needs to be when he's there.
Yeah.
And then, same with Reva. How did Reva get in front of Leia?
Force speed, bro.
How did Leia not see her pass her?
See, because she went around. She didn't go into the tunnel.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, she just looked at the tunnel.
And then was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go a different way.
Like a port.
Of course, I guess you guys saw that there's a bunch of people who are upset about Reva being in the show in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck those people. They're
racist and sexist, so. Yeah. I've stayed completely off of social media, but I have heard the things that have gone towards the actress that played Reva and the actress that played Leia.
Yeah, fuck you guys.
That are completely terrible.
They said things to a child?
Yes. Some of them joked about abusing that child.
What the hell?
Yeah.
That's a child.
Yeah.
And she's really cute.
Yeah, it's really messed up.
Waste of time. Those people are not real fans.
Yeah, waste of breath.
Don't think that all Star Wars fans are like that, because they're not. But did you find Rhys Silas?
Yes.
Aaron, tell us about Rhys Silas. Yeah.
Like Caden Christensen said, though those people tend to be the loudest, remember that most people enjoy this. Whenever you're sitting there listening.
He would know, wouldn't he?
Yeah. He took the brunt of it for several years.
Yeah, everybody loved Obi-Wan and Ewan McGregor, but hated Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, Hayden Christensen got bullied for years.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, well. So, everybody seems to enjoy him being here now.
Yeah.
So that's good. Sure. But Aaron, Wreath Silas.
Wreath Silas is our High Republic character of the day.
One of the two left in the tournament.
Yes. He was apprenticed to Jorah Mali, who was going to be in charge of Starlight Beacon. And this contains spoilers for the first two books of the young adult novels in the High Republic. And also,
this is an apprentice, correct?
Yes. And also for the first adult book, Line of the Jedi. So Jorah Mali died. before she went out to Starlight Beacon, she came after her. Like, she went and then he was supposed to come after her. Then that whole thing happened in Line of the Jedi where, like, the ship fell apart in hyperspace. And he got stranded on a station of an ancient civilization. And then they did all that. Tried to keep peace at the station. Ran into the Nihil before he knew that they were Nihil. Found out that station holds the last remnants of the Drengir. The Drengir got loose because they mistook a dark side presence on the station for artifact, and then they turned out it was the Drengir, and then they kind of contained the Drengir on that station, but it didn't contain the Drengir overall because some of them got off planet. It's a whole thing. Later on, he was helping Vernestra Rowe track the Nihil superweapon and eventually helped her destroy it. And let Mari Santeca, the key to the Nihil victories, finally die after hundreds of years of being kept alive in agony. We don't know his lightsaber form. Not necessarily, but it does seem kind of conserved. He uses a green lightsaber. Vernestra, the youngest Jedi to become a knight in history, was challenged fighting him, and the two of them are peers. He was able to clear a very long hallway of smoke and fire in one force push, and then run through the hall before it filled back up with smoke. And survive. How did Reva and Darth Vader get there so fast? Speed. He faced several Drengir alone and was able to outsmart them. And I think became the first person to kill a Drengir at this point in the High Republic. Okay. He earned respect as an equal from several Jedi Masters, including Master Komak, who would become his later master, Orla Jereni, and Knight Vernestra. Before he was able to cut off a kidnapper's arm before he could react, and he is extremely knowledgeable of ancient cultures and spends much time viewing schematics of literally everything so that he's constantly prepared.
Is that it?
Well, yeah.
All right. I have the Mace Windu.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Human Jedi, number two to Yoda, possibly the best duelist of his age, in equal or better than Palpatine, because remember, he did have Palpatine on the windowsill after Palpatine killed those three other Jedi, including Kit Fisto.
May he rest in peace.
he supposedly, as of right now, as of time recording, died on Coruscant after Anakin did Anakin things and became Darth Vader. He killed Jango Fett, who I have next week.
Just Anakin things.
Anakin things. He killed Jango Fett easily. Beheaded him in front of his son. He uses the dark side when he duels to focus his power and make him a more formidable foe.
Well, it's not that he specifically uses the dark. He uses the same kind of stuff that Darkseid uses, but he doesn't use it in the same way.
He's regarded as a top five master of all time and is adept in battle meditation and sensing shatter points. So, you've seen him in action?
Yes.
The shatter point thing's like, he can see where a place on a like surface, and if he pushes the force in that place, then it can shatter.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
You've seen Mace Windu in action.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron has an apprentice from the High Republic era.
Mm.
You have a winner.
Yes, I guess. Mace Windu.
Mace Windu, yay! Aaron, did you kind of suspect that one?
Yeah. That's why I wanted to go first.
I thought we had already talked about Wreath Silas for some reason.
He beat Cad Bane.
Yeah.
Well, obviously we had talked about him at least once.
Yeah.
But if you would all turn your attention to the board behind you, you can see that Mace Windu is over here, and he has to fight Darth Vader. in the next round?
Matchup
of a lifetime.
Rematch, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll see how this goes.
That'll be entertaining. Aaron, who do you want to do next?
Do you want to get the crow out of the way?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Hayden.
Pong crow. How much do you remember about Pong Crow?
Not much. Good. I just remember the name.
Damn it. That means I have to talk about him. Hold on, let me find the page he's on.
For those of y'all playing at home, he is fighting Leia Organa.
Oh.
Are you familiar with the Leia Organa?
No, I have no clue who she is.
Okay.
Okay, well, you will soon. My God, where is he at?
Well,
it's Kit Fisto.
Yeah. Bosk. All right, so Pong Crow is like this four-armed former Jedi who then became like
Do you remember Dex from Attack of the Clones? He ran a diner. Obi-Wan.
Like, he's that big dude with he has like a beard or whatever, and he's like pulling his pants.
Obi-Wan. That was like his first line. That's how he talked too.
I think so.
This is Pong Crow. Here's a picture of Pong Crow. You know who he is. That guy is. He's like a dick. And we hate him.
A complete a-hole.
We hate him so much. He good at fighting though.
He's very clearly made to be hateable.
Oh yeah, because he like turned clones and had them fight against each other.
He's a corrupt Vietnam general.
He's on the dark side. He's really good at killing clones. Because he utilizes two bladed lightsabers. All right. He's at one point was completely surrounded by clones and was able to block all of the blaster bolts by spinning his lightsabers and basically making like a shield around him. And then he did that a lot in that episode.
How did he lose in that fight, Hayden?
How was he captured?
Yeah.
Don't remember.
Okay. He got outsmarted by clones. He thought the clones were a lower life form and didn't actually have souls, pretty much.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah.
He thought he was superior to them in every way. And he thought he was superior to everybody in every way. And whenever the clones finally turned on him, he tried to go all horror movie on them. And then a newbie clone, who is like a rookie, just came in named Tup. I was able to outsmart him by luring him over there. And apparently Pong Krell doesn't get the fact that if there's a clone just standing in the wide open saying, hey, over here, and not trying to shoot at you, that it's not good.
Probably shouldn't go over there.
Yeah. And then Krell stepped on the vine of like a creature that's kind of like a sarlacc. And then it wrapped around his ankle, held him up in the air. For several seconds.
Jeez.
And then slammed him on the ground.
Oh.
and then Tup stunned him.
Oh.
Supposedly he saw the fall of the Jedi, the future fall of the Jedi, and decided to switch sides.
I call BS on that.
He's kind of a dick.
I feel like that's a Barisoffy kind of I see the fall of the Jedi. It's just
I don't think you actually saw all the Jedi. I think you just
scared. I could have an advantage.
So you're like, I'm going to change sides. And I'm going to fight against the Jedi by killing clones.
His
beings, I suppose, to him.
His tactics typically had a throw all of the clones right where the enemy's expecting them to have. And then hope the clones win.
Yeah, okay, so it says right here, despite being lauded as a successful general, Krell was driven by self-preservation and secretly enacted a plan to undermine the Republic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he kept throwing in a Vietnam type planet where there's the enemy knows the terrain, you know nothing about the terrain, and the enemy is they've fought this in similar ways. He was just all troops are just gonna march right up the middle, and then that's how we win, and it caused maximum casualties, and then eventually he literally just sent them clones against each other and had friendly fire.
He also was hoping that Dooku would take him as his apprentice.
I don't think Dooku even heard of him.
He was eventually executed by the 501st.
Yes. By a trooper that believed in him the most. A brand new, very by-the-book trooper named Dogma. Appropriately named.
Hmm.
After he figured out Pong, Krell did intend to kill all of the clones and cause the Republic to lose Umbara. Then he shot him.
So yeah, that's pretty much all I want to say about Pong Krell.
Okay.
Aaron.
Leia. I have Leia Organa. You know Leia.
I do know Leia, yes.
Carrie Fisher. I don't know the child actor's name right now.
Can I say something?
Okay.
Leia is far. Like, people are going to, at home, are going to think, she was never really Jedi. She was, like, trained as a Jedi or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, because she's far smarter than Pong Krell is.
Mm-hmm. She was the best general in the Rebel Alliance and the Resistance. And
her force powers are ridiculous.
Yeah. Honestly, Child Her was probably smarter than
Pong. Probably. Yeah. You know that guy was chasing after her, spoilers for season, like, episode one or whatever? The guy was chasing after her in the forest that, like, got stopped by the tree? That's Pong Krell. Yeah. That was, first of all... What the fuck, dude? This is your job.
Those mercenaries did suck.
What are you doing? You're getting outrun by a child.
Dude, but to be fair, that child is like the princess and General Leia Organa.
Yeah. But yeah, so Leia is far smarter than Pong Krell is.
Also,
so.
We have no proof Pong Krell knew how to fight in a lightsaber duel.
No, he only knows how to fight clones, yeah, as far as we know.
So the only respect threat I really think that I need is that Leia beat Luke in a lightsaber duel.
Yep.
To finish your training.
Yeah, to finish your training. Yes.
Yeah.
And they were both blind in doing so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that works.
What do you have to say?
Leia Organa, everyone. Woo!
Yay.
Pong Krell dies.
Suck a dick, Pong.
Get out of here.
Wow, we really
get
don't like
out of here. Curtis.
Curtis.
Get out of here.
Curtis is here? Curtis. Oh, there he is.
Oh,
I found his thing.
Oh, the Pong Krell.
Yeah,
thing?
Pretty much all of what I said is on there. So
yeah. All that mattered.
All that mattered. All right, what now? Mm. Which one now? We're halfway through. We're
making good time. Do you want to do Scion and Bosk or Bell and Bow?
This is sad. Save the Bell and Bow one, because I feel like that one is closer than Bosk and Scion.
Okay.
Unfortunately. So.
Bell and Bo. Wait, no, wait.
No, Bosk and Scion.
Yeah, Bosk and Scion. Hayden.
Bosk. Okay. Aaron, which one is Scion?
The Triumvirate Lord of Pain.
That's what I was thinking. Okay, so here's our love letter to Bosk, I suppose.
Oh, so sweet.
Except for the part where he's like, bloodthirsty. Or not bloodthirsty.
He has morals.
He's a bounty hunter that will kill anything.
He has morals.
But he does have, yeah, he does have, Boba. He has rules, and he abides by those rules. He's a very respectful dude, and he's here, he's been here since the beginning.
He has like a lifelong friendship with Boba Fett.
Yeah, he's been here since the beginning, all right? He is a Transdotian. He did, unfortunately, hunt Wookiees for sport.
It's the early part of it.
Can't help it.
He made mistakes.
And it was a whole thing, all right? It's his dad's fault. Because his dad was a bounty hunter as well.
That's also like on the planet Transdotia. That's like the big part of that religion. Is hunting
for sport.
And Wookiees are like, Kashyyyk's like right next to that planet, so Wookiees get hunted all the time.
I think that guy wants to haunt me.
No, no, no.
From Parks and Rec.
That man is horrible.
Get my crossbow. All right, Bosk. His name is Bosk, Wasak, Kradosk. The Bosk, Wasak, and Kradosk are just separated by apostrophes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one word, technically. He is son of a bounty hunter and renowned Wookiee hunter. He quickly became one of the best bounty hunters in the galaxy. He is a cool 6'3", 250. All right. But he's like a lizard, too. So he's got like crazy lizard strength.
Is that a thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Transdotians are very strong.
They're very strong. I mean, they hunt and fight Wookiees a lot.
Yeah.
And you know how big and strong Wookiees are.
They can go toe to toe. A strong Transdotian can go toe to toe with a Wookiee. Probably not a strong Wookiee. Like if it's Chewbacca, like Kirsten,
Tarful.
Yeah. Then no, the Wookiee would probably rip them apart. Mm. Right. Like Kirsten. Yeah.
How do you say his name?
I'm saying
Kurt. Are you saying
it's Kirsten? It's Kirsten. Yeah.
Kirsten. Oh, Black Kirsten.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why he. That's why he targeted. Isn't Transdotions?
Yeah.
Because of that whole thing of Wookiee.
He was a. He was a. Wasn't he a gladiator?
Yeah.
Or Kirsten.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Tarful is the big one, right?
Tarful's the general.
Yeah, he's like the
he survived the destruction of Khajiit.
Let's see if I can find a picture for you. How do you spell his name?
Two F's in UL.
UL? Tarful, Star Wars.
He's bigger than Chewbacca.
He is. He's this dude. You might recognize him. That's literally from the movie.
Yeah. Yoda cut off to Gree and another clone's heads. When Order 66 went down, Chewie and Tarful were with them.
They have a pop set of Tarful, Unhooded Emperor, and Utapau Clone Trooper.
Ooh.
It's you guys 12. Don't need that.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
That's definitely Cody, dude.
No, it is not. Dude, that's just a random 212.
What is the distinguisher between Cody and a regular
212? A visor?
In the movie, does he have a visor?
Yes. Always. And he has a backpack.
Does he really?
Yes.
Oh, damn, you're right.
Yeah. Looks different, man.
Whoa. Anyways, Bosk. Okay. 6'3", 250, member of Boba Fett's group, but is he preferred to work alone. He's a man of few, or a Transdotian of few words. Does he speak? He speaks English, or common, right? Yeah, but he has like a lisp kind of thing. Of course,
like most Transdotians.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But he's a nice snake.
You mess with Boba. You mess with me.
Thank you for that.
That kind of
Aaron.
Thing.
Aaron is actually the voice actor from Clone Wars for Bosk. He is both fair and honest. He lived by a code, and he always upheld his promises. So, he's a very respectable man.
Okay.
Lizard man that hunts and kills people. He usually uses a mortar gun, but he was proficient in hand-to-hand combat as well, because obviously he's a huge being that sometimes he just got to fight things hand-to-hand. Aaron, do you think he could beat Savage Opress hand-to-hand, no weapons?
I don't know.
I think that'd be pretty close.
Yeah.
Savage is probably stronger because he has the crazy magic strength.
Savage doesn't have the fighting wherewithal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Bosk's like fighting style is reliant on him being big, so it may not be great against like another, because they move slow. Transitions move slow whenever they fight because they're like about to whop.
It's like we'll put up with being slow, but if we get like one hit, you're done for.
Yeah,
kind of thing. He could regenerate limbs if cut off, because again.
It does take some time, though.
Lizard. He can physically best Wookiees, which we've already said is kind of a big deal.
Mm.
All right. He was called upon by Vader to find or hunt Solo, just like a bunch of other, like the best bounty hunters in the galaxy, including Boba Fett. And he can also use a sword. So he has that capabilities as well.
Okay.
And has been trained in the likes of that to use a sword in an effective manner. So, that's a boss.
Vibroblade sword?
Yes. So, lightsaber proof.
No. The Mandalorian showed that lightsabers cut through vibroblades like nothing.
Yeah. All right. Well, he has sword thing.
You just gotta not block.
Yeah, the problem is he's slow. Aaron, tell us about the thing.
I have Darth Sion, the Lord of Pain, in the Triumvirate of the Sith.
Oh, that's fun.
Really, it's a long title. He was a Sith Marauder during the Great Sith War under Exar Kun, like a long time before the setting of the Sith Triumvirate. He was killed, but decided he refused to die and held himself together by his anger and basically making him a walking corpse. His body was technically dead, but through the Force he held himself together and healed himself enough to keep walking.
What do you think he smells like?
Terrible. Like a rotting corpse.
All right, which one do you think smells worse, Bosk or him?
Him.
Really?
Absolutely him.
Have you ever smelled a lizard?
Yeah, but do lizards
you
sweat?
You know what crocodiles smell like?
Do lizards sweat?
No.
No?
No.
I don't actually know.
Please,
that's why. That's why they have to. They have no like temperature regulation.
Yeah, they're cold blooded.
That's why they're
literally cold blooded. That is literally what they are. They have. They have no temperature regulation. That's why they have to lay out in the sun and then move to the water when they get too hot.
Yeah. So he does not sweat. So I think Bosk smells.
You know that sweat is not the smell part, right?
Yeah, it's the bacteria that comes in with the sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the bacteria that sits on your skin after you sweat.
Yeah. I know how it works.
Just making sure.
So, Sion, he held himself together and healed himself enough to keep walking and lived like a very long time as a walking corpse.
Literally.
Yeah, which...
do you think parts of him were falling off?
Possibly.
Like throughout the time while he was...
Like... You know how like Korg, when that rock fell off, and he's like, well, there goes another one. Is that what this is like?
He just puts it back on.
I don't think it's as wholesome as Korg's, though.
Does he make a noise when he walks around?
I imagine he does, but God, I hope not.
I don't like the sound.
He's
of
a
that.
Zombie, basically.
Yeah, this is also extremely agonizing for him because, you know, he's
no
dead
shit,
with open wounds constantly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but that doesn't that just make him more powerful?
Like, makes him more angry.
He's like Deadpool.
Yeah.
He's constantly dying.
He allied with Revan and Malak until they fell, and then after that he joined the Sith Triumvirate with Darth Nihilus, the Lord of Hunger, and Darth Treya, the Lord of...
I have a picture of them, too. Look. Boom.
What was Treya the Lord of again? Okay.
Good question, Aaron.
Okay. Anyway, he and Nihilus overthrew Treya, defeated her, and both of them drained her of her Force
Betrayal.
Powers. What?
Betrayal.
Are you being dramatic or are you correct?
No, that Darth Treya, Lord of Betrayal.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because she like betrayed the Jedi.
Yes. And then they betrayed her. So I guess he's the Lord of Betrayal now.
Why'd that look like Qui-Gon?
It does look like Qui-Gon, actually.
There's a picture of Sion that looks like he's just defeated a Jedi, but the Jedi is definitely Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
They did not live near.
That's Anakin's lightsaber, too.
They did not live anywhere near this time. I'm going to investigate. Oh, look where I went.
Comic Vine.
Continue, Aaron. I'm gonna see if we can find this dude.
Okay, so they overthrew her and then severed her connection with the Force. And then both of them decided to destroy the Jedi Order, and they came very close to succeeding. He attacked the Jedi Master. Mitra Sirdic, known simply later on in this whole thing that I'm doing as the Exile. But she was saved by Kreia, which is Darth Treya's real name, after Kreia went back to the light and started kind of getting back her Force connection, but like a very little amount of it. He fought the Exile several times, and eventually they grew close to each other, you know, through like banter and all that and pain.
Sure.
At the last time that
I'm
he
sure
and
they
he,
did, Aaron.
At the last time he and the Exile fought, the Exile kept killing him, but he just kept getting back up. It's like cutting him in half and then he just reforms.
I would like to pose something. I'm not sure he's actually good at fighting.
He's like Deadpool.
I think
he takes the hits.
Yeah, he's like Deadpool or Moon Knight, where he's like, I'm just gonna get hit and then reform, and it'll be fine.
I can get up a lot more than you can.
He's not wrong. I just like on this respect thread, it's literally said that he died many times, but managed to revive himself every time.
Yeah, this last time,
kind of like strategy is that
it's a Deadpool strategy. Yeah. I'm gonna heal. You're not.
If he manages to defeat Bosk here,
he's gonna fight.
We're gonna see just how long or how many times he can die in the next one. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, during the last fight, the Exile convinced him to finally let go of his pain, and then he finally left himself die, which I imagine he just turned to a pile of dust.
Mm. God. Mushy dust.
Has a red lightsaber.
Ew.
I agree.
He trained a cohort of elite Sith assassins, and then with them, reportedly killed Jedi by the tens of thousands.
Jesus.
I believe it.
And he was the lead of these, and the most skilled among all of these assassins. He and Nihilus via whenever he saw Kreia again back in the light side, he beat her in one hit by cutting off her hands.
Okay.
And this was after she killed several of his assassins too.
Anytime you feel like stopping him.
I mean, it's when are you almost done, Aaron?
I'm close to it, yeah.
See?
Oh look, there's a Lego figure of him.
You distracting us.
It's $36.
You don't need to it. Oh.
Why?
Hey, do you remember that like trailer thing with Galen Merrick where he like released that wave and disintegrated several stormtroopers?
I do.
And then Vader?
I do remember that. Okay. Yeah, he like walked through the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nihilus released a wave like that at one point. Disintegrating several people.
Of course Nihilus would. That's a very Nihilus thing. Yeah.
And then Sion pulled a Vader and just was unfazed.
Well, he probably did fall apart and then just reformed.
No, apparently he just stood there just like...
There's no way that anything, like a swift breeze, couldn't make him fall apart. Look at him.
Dude, he's holding himself...
He looks like the Thing.
Right. He's holding himself together with the Force.
Or Freddy Krueger.
He's holding himself together with the Force.
The Thing and Freddy Krueger are two different things.
He walked on Malachor 5 very easily. Which apparently walking on Malachor 5 is akin to feeling like all of your cells are crashing on each other.
Is that a fire thing?
And getting buried alive.
Or a gravity thing.
It's a mixture of gravity and the dark side.
Okay.
And he walked through there easily, like he didn't even care. Because, you know, I'm in pain all the time, so what does this even matter?
What does this even matter?
You look like the kind of whenever, guy go, at one point, whenever he fought the Exile, he defeated, electrocuted, and then drained the Exile so that the Exile...
Did he say drained?
Yeah. So that the Exile appeared dead in the Force and appeared dead in, like, all measure... All, like, measurement of, like, looking and trying to examine them. Mm. Do I need to go?
No, you're good.
Okay.
You're good.
Do you have a dub?
Yeah. It's...
Is it the Crinkly Man?
The Walking Dead.
Yeah. God. I need to stop looking at pictures of this dude.
Honestly, if he was on the show The Walking Dead, I think they all probably would have quit. Like, they just... Like, he just walks up and they're just like...
No.
No.
They shoot him in the head and just...
Yeah.
I think he, if he was on that show, he would scare the other zombies.
He would scare the other zombies and the humans would just quit. They'd be like, listen here, this is not worth it anymore.
What the hell is that?
I imagine every time he dies, he just really, the noise that comes out is just...
See, that's what I said. She didn't think it was funny when I said it. But Aaron, we have one more.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Bell Zedifar versus Bo-Katan.
Woo.
Okay, moving on.
Aaron, you have a thing.
Yeah, no, you're first.
Nuh-uh. But Bell Zedifar is 103, dude.
But yeah, he's the... Fine. Bell Zedifar.
Fine.
Bell Zedifar is a Padawan in the High Republic.
Friend of the show.
Yes. What? True friend of Nerdament.
Okay,
we,
sure.
We like Belle Zedifar here.
Look up a picture of Belle and to remind her. Yeah, okay. Belle also has a dog.
We have to mention Ember every single time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if we're not even talking about Belle Zedifar, we just mention Belle Zedifar. Yeah. Like, oh, Belle has a dog.
Yeah. Belle has a char hound by the name of Ember.
It looks like Phoenix.
Yeah.
That can spit fire.
It does.
It does not look like Phoenix. Look at it.
It's skinny and has fur.
You need to stop being mean to her. She likes you. She barely.
Aaron, have you ever noticed that Phoenix kind of looks like an anteater? But then also... A kangaroo sometimes.
Stop it!
Ember can also shoot fire.
Like yeah.
A dragon.
Oh, that's cool.
Get an Ember.
So he was a Padawan to Loden Great Storm, a legend at the time. He helped evacuate part of Hetzal Prime during the Great Disaster, where, you know, the ship kind of like, woo, and death.
Yeah.
What? I read the book, and I'm lost.
We talked about it earlier.
Death.
And light speed. That's all you need to know.
The word light speed.
He later responded to the hostage crisis on Ulfrona that ended up with Loden getting kidnapped. He became a Padawan to Indira Stokes. There are spoilers for the High Republic books here.
Look, there's Bell and Buryaga in the same picture.
Yeah, they're friends.
Oh, they're friends.
Best friends.
He became a Padawan to his friend Indira Stokes.
Best friends.
And slowly cut himself off from the Force.
He says, aren't you Ember? Aren't you a good girl? And she says, woof.
You need to stop. You are distracting us. Put the computer
away. Is there
away.
A worse or better distraction? Look at that. It looks even more like Phoenix.
Oh my God. He was literally in the middle of sentences.
She does that face to me all the time.
Oh my God.
And she's like,
The people of Nerdament don't care about your dog.
It's your dog, technically. You paid for
her. Yeah, but she likes you more. Anywho.
That's a recent development.
Slowly cut himself off from the Force. He helped evacuate a sinking cruiser during the attack on Valo. And part of the counterattack on the Nighthill, he saved Loden, but both were attacked by the Great Leveler, which feeds on Force connection, turning Loden to dust and incapacitating Bell. And then later, whenever the Starlight Beacon burned, he was involved in that with Buryaga and helped evacuate people out of that whole situation. Yeah. There's not much feats that came out of that.
It's a new character.
He was helping evacuate the ship and everything. He's also one of two people who have survived being next to a Great Leveler, getting fed on by a Great Leveler.
Who's the other one, Aaron?
Indira Stokes.
Is she alive?
Yeah, she's alive. She was in the same condition as he was.
Comatose.
Yeah. has a green lightsaber and a dog. He helped.
He can mention the dog, but I can't mention the dog.
Oh my gosh. Can he finish talking?
Whenever he was flying, there was a harpoon launched from a Nihil ship that impaled him and shattered his canopy while he was in like the stratosphere. And he used the Force to hold his canopy together during that time and long enough for him to shoot the Nihil ship in like their fuel storage. In that same condition. Yeah, that was the same thing. At an earlier point, he jumped out at the edge of the atmosphere to save a hostage that was ejected from a ship and slowed their descent in away from like treacherous terrain. He was brave enough to prepare to block a freighter's blast, which when Loden blocked it shortly before him, it completely wore Loden out and dug him back several feet. And it was about to come back and shoot again, and Bell was brave enough to stand in front of it and prepare to take it, even though he wasn't as powerful. He was treated as an equal and respected by both Elzar Mann and Stellan Geos, the Obi-Wan and Anakin of this period. Geos trusted Zedifar to find with the responsibility of finding the Chancellor's son and getting him to safety. As for Ember, Ember burned a Nihil to ash within seconds after successfully stalking the Nihil for miles without the Nihil knowing.
That's metal.
Yeah.
Look at this picture of Yoda.
Hayden, you're up.
I found like this picture has like all of the like the characters.
Yeah.
And the main characters and stuff. So you can see like and zoom in here, and it has like all of like.
Does it have buckets of blood?
It does. He's up there.
Oh, hey.
There's also another Wookiee.
There's another one.
Yeah,
Arkoff. Oh, hey, there's Teyami. Hey, Teyami, rest in peace.
R.I.P. Dog. But Ember also has a thing. See, so it says Ember, and like she has a name tag.
Hi, I'm Ember.
Wait, where's Obi-Wan?
No.
This is 300 years before.
Then why is Yoda there?
Because he's old. Oh, remember, he dies when he's like 800.
Yeah.
900?
800.
Oh, wait. Oh, so their whole situation is before the whole Skywalker Anakin situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all of these dudes will be dead by then.
Except good for them.
But whenever he says Elzar Man, that's Elzar Man.
Yeah.
And that's Stellan Geos.
I talked about Fenestra earlier. That's Fenestra. I believe that's Wreath. Or is that
That's it's Imari.
Oh, it's Imri. Wreath is gonna be.
He's up here.
There he is. That's Wreath.
The generic looking one.
Yeah. Normal looking white
guy. That's Wreath Silas. We talked about him earlier. He lost to Mace Windu. All right.
Remember.
Hayden.
Bo-Katan. Right. She's the redheaded Mandalorian from Mandalorian Season 2.
Yeah. And Clone Wars.
That wears
as well.
Blue.
Okay, I think I remember.
Yeah. She has like owl eyes on her helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alright, she's a skilled Mandalorian warrior that is able to use other Mandalorians' weapons against them to defeat multiple enemies at once. She could hold her own against Ahsoka and quickly dispatch multiple super commandos, which is Darth Maul's like little legion of dudes.
Yeah.
They're also Mandalorians. She could dispatch multiple of those dudes at once. She was quick enough to dodge blaster bolts from both a blaster and a TIE fighter. And has a normal Mandalorian equipment, you know, run-of-the-mill stuff. Flamethrower, whipcord, guns.
Buckler shield.
Grenades. More guns. More grenades.
Jetpack.
Jetpack. She, as far as I could tell, she's only really fought one Force-sensitive. And that was Ahsoka. One-on-one.
But she was around quite a few of them.
Yeah.
Maul, Obi-Wan, Anakin, Ahsoka.
Yeah, but she's skilled enough to have fought and killed pretty much anybody in the galaxy, unless they were like main character.
Mm-hmm.
She's like her sister, right? Was the ruler of Mandalore?
Yeah, Duchess Satine was her sister.
Relationship with Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan, the love of Obi-Wan's life.
I know about that.
Yeah.
Also, she knows Kanan, Ezra.
And according to herself, she is only good at war. So she's only really good at fighting. That's all that she does. She's not a great leader. But I assume she does want to lead Mandalore. Or at least free Mandalore.
Whenever Sabine got the Darksaber, she realized Bo-Katan was the better leader and gave it to her. And then she started, like, before the original trilogy, started trying to get the Mandalorians back together to retake Mandalore.
And it did not seem to be effective at that time.
Yeah, and then the Night of a Thousand Tears happened. In Boba Fett's words, they turned Mandalore to glass. She's still trying to get it together. Get all of them together.
I assume that's what's going to happen in Mandalorian Season 3.
At the celebration, they hinted that she may be the villain. Because she's going to try to...
She wants the Darksaber.
Yeah, and that places her against Din.
Yeah. So, Bo-Katan. I tried to find the best feats as I possibly could, and I included them.
I mean, she...
There weren't a lot of, like, you know,
she
crazy things.
Yeah.
Well, at one point, she was able to throw around 200-pound people like it was nothing.
Yeah, that's normal warrior Mandalorian things.
Well, yeah. I remember
like
two of the things.
It's like carrying a gun and having a flamethrower. It's the same thing.
I remember a couple things. Was in like the same scene, they were getting chased by Mandalorians with jetpacks, and she was on a speeder. She jumped off used the grappling hook to grab onto him, and then jumped off without turning on her jetpack, and then swung him into a building and killed him. And then whenever the speeder came to a stop, a guy came at her at full speed with the jetpack, and then she just grabbed him and he still had the jetpack on, forced him to the ground, and then killed him.
So yeah.
Okay.
Any questions?
Yeah. Do you need elaboration?
this fight?
No. I don't think so.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Aaron, do you have anything you'd like to say on Bell Zedifar's behalf?
Bell is a good fighter. He's extremely brave. He's not one to fall to fear. And he has survived a great many things. Plus, he has a dog that breathes fire.
And then Bo-Katan has been fighting wars since she was very young. And that's all that she's really good at. And she's really good at it. And she has a flamethrower.
She's also used a flamethrower.
She uses flamethrowers. So flamethrower and Ember are like the same thing. So,
but what she do you does think? Have to fight two people, essentially.
Yeah, because Ember is a part of the strategy as well.
Yes.
But it's not like she hasn't fought multiple people before. She does. She fought multiple Mandalorians using the same weapons that she had and defeated all of them simultaneously. So,
I mean, technically, she also, if we're going with the most powerful version of her, she also has the Darksaber at one point.
Yeah.
So she Netta is also technically in her repertoire. The lightsaber. Yeah.
I will say, if she does have the Darksaber, she's probably not as trained, well-trained as Bell Zedifar is with the lightsaber.
Not, it's not no, trained in, not. Like, not trained like a Jedi.
No.
They have a, she has a different kind of fighting style. I think, she's Mandalorian.
I think you have a tough choice here.
Yeah.
Because Bell Zedifar has a lightsaber and is trained with a lightsaber and has the power of the Force, which he did get back the power of the Force and reconnect himself with the power of the Force at the end of the last book, so he has the power of the Force. Yeah. Bo-Katan has been fighting everybody for many years and is a Mandalorian, has Mandalorian armor and Mandalorian like tools,
which are made to combat Jedi,
and has a darksaber. But Bell Zedifar is not your normal apprentice. Mm. He's definitely should be a knight by now.
He should have been a knight a while ago.
Has survived things that Jedi masters couldn't survive.
I think they said in the second book, the beginning of the second book, that he was offered the position of knight over.
And he turned it down. So yeah, it's not an easy one. This is it's definitely pretty close. I think they match up pretty well.
Yeah.
But just like any Jedi and Mandalorian fight, it comes down to like somebody making a mistake.
Yeah.
That's true.
So the question is, who will make the mistake?
I'm going to go with Bell Zedifar.
As the winner or the mistake maker?
The winner.
Hmm.
Hey, I can see why you would choose Bell Zedifar. Because when Jedi fight anybody, even if that person has like the darksaber or like something that counteracts lightsabers or any of their weaponry, the Force is what they always turn to. So the Force is the equalizer.
Yeah.
Especially against Mandalorians.
Yeah.
So I respect your decision. And you know how I feel about Bell Zedifar? I get to interrupt Aaron. And probably I'll talk about Bell Zedifar probably next time.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
So, because he's fighting Anakin in the next round.
Oh, okay.
No,
makes sense.
That was nice. That was easy.
Yeah.
That's it. This episode.
Nice and calm.
Good job.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Next episode is going to have close one.
All right. Aaron, what is happening next episode?
So, next episode we have Jango Fett versus the Grand Inquisitor. Yaddle versus Adi Gallia. Stellan Geos versus Darth Talon, and the one, Ben Skywalker versus Mara Jade.
Mom and son.
Yeah. Oh, fun.
A lot to look forward to.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for tuning in. Sorry we were gone for 2 weeks, but we're back now. So that next episode, Aaron just said, will actually come out next week. It will. But yeah, we'll see you next week. Have a good week. Be safe. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.